Christmas Eve edition of Rosie on the House. Now the jingle hop has begun. Good morning, y'all. We're continuing on the topic here of things Jennifer and I have found particularly interesting in our research of topics over the course of this last year. If you've stumbled across something in the building trades or industry that you have found particularly interesting or thought-provoking, give us a ring and join the conversation. Jennifer and I are in studio. Romy's got the Christmas Eve off to spend with the family. And our baby daughter, Carol Grace, is home from Colorado Christian in Lakewood, Colorado, after her first semester of college, and she's in the screening booth. So she'll take a call, find out where you're calling from, your name, and your question, and we'll get you on air as quick as we can. If you're trying to tackle any kind of little home improvement project here just before the final guests start arriving.
Carol was gracious enough to offer. I didn't even ask her to come down. She said, might you need somebody to call screen? I said, yes. So if you have a question, she's waiting on you.
You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about, like we talked with John Jay, Harper family traditions. And last Saturday, we were asking our visitors and our listeners to email us and send us notes of their family traditions. And one topic I did not get to research for today's show that I wish I would have. Maybe I can get to it at the break a little bit. But where did the tradition of luminarias start?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll look that up for you. I love how you throw me these curveballs.
Well, it's just, you know, it was the one tradition that I thought I started putting together a list of all the comments that we got this past week. Let me ask y'all this. For you true Christmas purists, when do you open your presents?
I think you think you're a purist.
I am a purist. I am a purist. How many of you cheat and open it on Christmas Eve? Now, that's cheating. That's cheating.
I used to let the kids open one gift just to kind of take the edge off of all the excitement.
That's because somebody in your family taught you how to unwrap all the packages like a week before and see what was under the tree and put it all back.
I didn't say I participated in that. I just happen to know someone who does that.
Now, that's cheating.
That is cheating.
So, for those of you who have big families, I know there are some of you that literally will take an hour and a half going under the tree and getting one present and walking it over to Aunt Gladys. And Aunt Gladys opens the present and she shows it to everyone and goes on and on about how thankful and grateful she is for it. And then somebody goes to the tree and picks up the next box for Uncle Bob. And then Bob opens one gift very slowly. And all the kids are about ready. Their minds are about to explode. Is it the right way to celebrate Christmas?
Well, there's probably a space between and what we do.
One gift at a time. We are, or are you a true mosh pit?
It's organized chaos.
Gift opening hurrah.
Well, if we did that one thing at a time, we'd be there till day after tomorrow.
We would.
So we pass one of the little people, or actually all the little kids kind of pitch in and go under the tree, see what it belongs to, take it to the right person, and then everybody gets their pile, and then, you know.
Have at it, baby.
Yeah. We try to start with some few Christmas carols and reading the Christmas story, kind of set the tone and remember why we're doing this, the reason for the season, and then it's mass chaos.
Is opening a gift on Christmas Eve cheating? That's all I want to know. And then,
will it make any difference?
And then,
to you? No.
And then, what's the right way for a family to enjoy the gifts? All at one time, huge mosh pit opening, or one at a time, dragged out for a boring hour and a half? Which is the right way to do it? That's all I want to know.
That's a leading statement, I have to say. You can vote either way.
You know, one of our family traditions that has become here in the last decade is getting up to Prescott, the Arizona official Christmas city, and being there for the lighting of the Courthouse Plaza. And that's always the first weekend in December. It stays lit through, I think, the second weekend in January, I think.
Yes, most of the lighting things, at least through the 31st, most of them through the New Year's holiday, you know.
And we've been there in snow, and this year it was really quite warm. So we've seen it both ways.
It's a little disappointing.
Lots of great Arizona Christmas Day weekend traditions.
I actually got a Facebook message this week from one of our, I think it's Maggie. She likes to check in with us, and she said, I really want to do that for my staycation if I ever win, is go to the Christmas courthouse lighting. She wanted to know if that was a possibility. I said, absolutely.
Sure, it's a possibility. Hey, we've got Lauren on the phone and Glenn. Let's take a couple calls, and we'll get back and start talking about topics that Jennifer and I have discovered over the course of this last year that we find particularly intriguing. Let's bring Lauren into the conversation this Christmas Eve. Good morning, Lauren.
Hey, Rosie.
Hey, man.
Good morning. So I've got a quick question. So I'm a landlord. I've got three units. It's a triplex. They're all individually metered except for the water. All three units are pretty small. There's no room for a washer and dryer in the units. And I really want to build the tenants like a separate laundromat kind of a thing. The only problem is they're all individually metered, so I'm trying to figure out, trying to get a little creative and figure out how the heck can I give them that service, but, you know, figure out how it's fair, especially, you know, power draw and all that. Any ideas?
Well, I think the first thing you do is you get in touch with whoever is the building enforcement department in that area, whether it's the county or a particular city, and get in there and take a site plan of the property and have them show you where the setbacks are and where you have the opportunity to create this little common laundry area. And I think it's a very simple calculation to how many hours a washer and dryer does the property have natural gas, or will it be an electric dryer?
It does have natural gas.
Okay.
I just assumed electric would be easier, but there is natural gas there.
Well, I'll leave it up to you. I'm a big gas fan. If I have gas on property, I convert everything I can to gas. The fireplaces, the water heaters, the furnaces, the dryers. I just love gas. So that's a personal preference. It is going to cost you probably a little bit more to break into the existing gas line, run the extension out to wherever you're doing this common laundry area. But like I say, get the setbacks, get a calculation. I think the utility companies will help you with that, how many hours the washer and dryer is going to run. And I would just go to the one unit that's the closest to where you want to place this and say, look, I'm going to give you an X factor deduction of your rent, knowing that that's probably because you're going to be paying a little bit higher electric for everybody else. And run it as a beta test for a couple months and see if it's working out for them. And that's how I'd probably try and do it, because you're certainly not going to want to pay for a separate meter socket to meter the little common laundry area separate. That's for sure. That'd be cost prohibitive.
Cool. I appreciate the viewpoint.
You bet, man. Congratulations on having yourself a little triplex. I think those kind of little units like that are like built-in butter and cream, man. That is like retirement deluxe. You get four or five of those over the course of your lifetime, all free and clear and paid for, and you're just collecting rent on them. It's just lovely money. Lovely money. Christmas traditions and topics of interest. When we get back, one of the things Jennifer and I saw at the International Builders Show last January was this bathroom. And John Harper and I were talking about our great-great-grandfathers earlier. The bathrooms of tomorrow ain't grandpa's privy. I'll tell you that. You don't need a Sears catalog in these bathrooms. I'm telling you that.
Or a flashlight.
Or you do not need a flashlight, you don't need a corn cob, and you don't need a Sears catalog. These bathrooms are absolutely incredible. The ones we were witness to were from students at the University of Texas. And these bathrooms, as you walked into them, had sensors in the floor. They took your temperature, they took your blood pressure, and they weighed you. When you went up to your vanity and looked in the mirror, it recognized you personally through eye recognition, pupil recognition. It automatically set the thermostat that you like the water at perfectly in your bathroom lavatory. It set the temperature on your toilet seat, and it set the temperature for the water in your shower without having to do anything. Behind the mirror is a television that's projecting whatever you want. It can be the traffic report for the route between you and your office. It can be the weather report. It can be the stock report. It can be current news, late-breaking news stories. Once it recognized you, it set the lights the way you wanted it. It set the temperature the way you wanted it. It could change the temperature of the floor.
Who do you call when something like that breaks down? Not your plumber.
That is a great question.
It's like a computer. It's a bit, you walk it into a big computer.
And that's a perfect example of the continuing education our tradespeople are going to have. It's not just construction anymore. It literally is construction engineering. It really is construction sciences. And it's one of the reasons that the making a living in the trades is going to be a very, very good living, because it's going to be fairly sophisticated as we continue to develop all these technologies.
We had a homeowner with a Toto toilet, one of the nice ones, you know, about $2,000, and sent the plumber out there. And he's like, Jennifer, I don't know how to fix this computer. This whole thing is computerized. So they have to take the whole thing and send it in.
This is a toilet where the lid raises for a sit-down operation. The seat raises for a stand-up operation. They both close automatically. The seat is adjusted to a temperature. It's a hands-free cleaning operation with a washer and a dryer. You set the temperature of the water and the air. It senses whether or not you want to automatically flush every time you get up and leave the toilet. So this toilet needs servicing. We literally have to remove the top half of the toilet, put it in the mail, and send it to Toto Toilets.
And it doesn't work without it. So better have two bathrooms anyway.
Hey, when we get back, we're going to talk to Glenn and Roger, both on hold right here at Rosie on the House.